Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
Today, guys, we're going to do some more deal structuring. We're going to talk about a deal that someone left on our hotline. We're going to go through the numbers on that and see if we can come up with some offers. Guys, I want to remind you that on our hotline, we have a hard time getting back with people just because we've been inundated with a lot of calls. But if you guys have deals that you're working on, you need help with, it would be best for you to go to our Facebook page, the Creative Financing Podcast on Facebook, go to that page and leave your deal there. And just because we have a community there already that we can help you with, you know, in real time, we're close to real time. But, you know, I myself and Jeff will be on there, from time to time, looking at these, you know, comments and posts and things like that. But again, if you have a deal that you need help with, please don't call our hotline anymore. I know we were, we've advertised that in the past to call the hotline, but now, we have such kind of like a big backlog of people that we've been trying to get back with on there. So it's just been really time consuming on our part. So again, if you have a deal, please go to our Facebook page and leave the details there. That way, you know, at least people in our community can reach out immediately and try to help you structure something on that. You want to say anything about that, Jeff?
Basically just the timing. I know people, you know, are looking for answers fairly quickly when they have some needs for deal structuring. And I don't want to get back to them a week or two later and, you know, that deal's kind of gone already. And if they were dealing in the Facebook page, they could get answers within 24 hours. So that'll be much better for them.
Yeah, for sure. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, let's get into it then.
All right. So this was left by Arthur, and not sure where Arthur is, but I thought it was a good example, and because it's going to make us think through some stuff. So why don't we see what, if anything, we can come up with. And you got to understand, some of these deals you don't want. And you know, I'll show you when you won't want this one. So let's start out with the ARV is $150,000. They owe $146,000, and I think they're behind, but it looked like one of the further posts were that it's a VA loan and the back payments could be added to the back of the loan. So there would be really no reinstatement, and it's a 2-bed, 1-bath. The interest rate's 4.5%. The payment is $1,180 a month, PITI.
$1,180 PITI.
Yeah. So rents for a 2-bedroom in this area would go for about $1,000 a month. However, from what Arthur is saying is that there is like a den that's not being used in the house that could be converted into 2 more bedrooms. And then the rents for a 3-4 bedroom would be $1,300 plus a month. And that is certainly going to be something that we're going to look at, because otherwise this deal is super tight.
Yeah, there's no real cash flow there. And, you know, how much would you have to bring in to convert that den to a 3-4 bedroom? Would you have to run away?
Those are the questions. I know the seller wanted So the seller just bought this house like a year ago and now is needing to move. I don't remember what the reasoning is, but they were hoping to get $2,000 to move. And I don't even know if I would be willing to give them $2,000 because the numbers are so tight. But I like these. I like these kinds of deals. That these are the deals with no equity. But there's two major things that I'm always going to look at. What is the monthly payment?
Yeah.
Right. So in this case, as a two bedroom, this probably doesn't make much sense. At least as a rental, right?
Right.
Because if we can only get $1,000, and our payment's $1,180, we've got a problem.
And
the second part is what is the amount of money we're gonna have to put into this house? And in this case, it sounds like what kind of money would it take to, you know, make these two additional bedrooms? And yet, would these bedrooms be legal, right? Because if they're not legal, it's you might be able to get the additional rent, but you may have some issues at the exit strategy, right? For a refinance or an appraisal or, you know, all those kinds of things when it gets time to, when you're trying to get out of this deal.
Yeah.
That, you know, that may become a problem. So, what are your thoughts on it first, Jonathan? What would you do?
I don't think it's something you could sell to a landlord. I mean, even if you were to put a little bit of money into it and, you know, make it into a four bedroom, there's no cash flow there. With the payment being $1,180, I think this is something that you might can pass on to an owner OC.
Okay, so tell me what your thoughts are there. What would you try to do with it there?
So I would, I mean, there's really no equity here. So, I mean, I would try to, I would offer the sellers like, I don't know, $1,000 or $2,000, right? And then
they're only asking two, so
maybe $1,000. I'd try to give him something.
Okay.
But then I would go out there and try to find a buyer that would, you know, that's looking for something on seller finance and is willing
to pay. What price? What would you make? What would the price be?
$165. I would try to squeeze out a $14,000 or $15,000 wholesale fee if I can.
Okay, so you're basically going to find an owner occupant and then assign the contract to the owner occupant.
Yeah, yep.
So you probably don't even need to raise it that much. I mean, if you're trying to get, let's say, $15,000 out of it, you know, you're going to raise it to 161, right? So 15 on top of the 146.
Your
thousand or two and whatever closing costs, right? Because you're most likely paying closing costs if you're, you know, only giving the seller $1,000 or $2,000. So let's say that you're into this for $5,000. That'd be, you know, $3,000 in closing costs, two on one side, one on another, and $2,000 out of pocket to the seller.
Yeah.
So you could make $10,000 or thereabouts, right? Just doing a quick assignment.
Yeah.
So the payment, what would your concerns be if, you know, two bedrooms only are renting for, you know, $1,000 a month, but here you're trying to pass on, you know, an $1,180 a month payment.
Yeah.
You know, is that a concern?
Yeah, certainly, because it's seems like it's cheaper to rent a two bedroom in the area than buy your own property. But that doesn't mean that people aren't willing to pay for it. Especially, you know, if it's seller finance, someone can, you know, have their own yard. And is this a house we're talking? I never asked.
Yes, it is a house.
Okay. Yeah. I do think people tend to pay a little bit more for a house, you know, versus an apartment. So there might be a concern there. It might be a little harder to pitch, but I think you could find someone.
It's not like exorbitantly high.
Yeah, but it's like $1,500 or
something. No, I mean, it might be $80 too high. But, you know, it's not ridiculous. And I would say there's probably, yep, depending on this location, depending on the condition of this house, that it may, that might fly. It also may not. Is there a scenario where you would actually go and put some money into it? Let's say that for $5,000, you could go in and create two more bedrooms here. Is that something that you would ever look at doing, or no?
Maybe. I mean, I know that.
So let's say you could get $1,400 a month in rent if you were to do that. Is that something that you would consider?
It would be close. So if I was to hold it as a rental, be into it, let's see, would we say a couple thousand in closing costs plus?
Let's say $5,000 in everything up front plus another $5,000.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be close then. And say $1,400 a month minus that $1,180 without any other expenses, I'd give you $220 a month in cash flow if you could pass on the utilities.
You would have to, right? You'd have to pretty much pass on everything, or else I don't think you'll make any money from this.
Yeah, right. If you were into it,
still pretty tight.
Yeah, I mean, your cash flow would be what, $22,640 or something?
Like that, let's say $200 a month, right? I mean, that's really all it is.
Yeah.
So $2,400. And even though if you look at your cash on cash return, even if you've got $10,000 into it, I mean, that is a good rate of return.
Yeah, 24%.
Yeah.
So that might work that way. So yeah, I mean that could work that way. You would want to definitely confirm that you could get $1,400 for it, and
sure, yeah,
not be guessing. But
yeah, and these are all with the assumptions that hey, this house really doesn't need any other work, right? So
yeah, that's true.
If it does, I'm thinking you're getting further and further away from a deal than if it is in at least good shape, right?
Yeah. So two possibilities there, you know, wholesale to an owner occupant and just mark it up, 10 or 15K. And then, maybe possibly look at creating a four bedroom. Do we know what the ARV would be if we turned it into a four bed?
Yeah, but we really don't. I don't know that, it's going to increase like dramatically or anything. But probably some. Don't really know that question. Probably would want to know that question is, what would that do? It would also mean, hey, what does that do to this house? I mean, if you're thinking about a den, I mean, to me, a den could be kind of like right in the middle of, you could walk in and, are you going to have two bedrooms like right as you walk in? Is it going to mess the whole flow of the house up? Yeah. By creating these two bedrooms, so that's all that I'm looking at. For me, I'm immediately going to start thinking about, all right, here are my options, right? So you're right. I don't see we're going to find a way to sell this to anyone but an owner occupant.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have some choices, right? And to me, we have three. So one, we have the first scenario that you talked about where I'm going to leave it as is. We definitely know that the payment's on the little high side. We're going to raise the price a bit and we're going to just get what we can get as far as a down payment and an assignment fee, and we're going to be out of this.
Yep.
Second would be where you would do your scenario where we'd go in and, perhaps add two more bedrooms. Now, some of the responses we got were, hey, I would lease option it out. I wouldn't. And the reason that I wouldn't is, let's say I could get $1,400 a month I think I would rather try to get a higher interest rate. You know, the most that you're really looking at, you know, and maybe you could get even more than 14 with, you know, added bedrooms, but that's not my that's not the direction I think I'd want to go in. Plus, I don't think that you're going to recoup a whole lot of that money that you already have into it. You know, so if you got 10 grand in this and you're doing it as a lease option, my guess is that you are going to get 5 grand as an option deposit. So if you're okay leaving that money in the deal, then that's your business model that you've decided that you're okay with. That's not a business model I like to use personally.
Yeah.
And then the third one would be is there a way for me to position myself in the middle? And I really don't think it's worthwhile to position yourself in the middle. There's no equity and there's really no cash flow. And those are the only reasons to position yourself in the middle.
Yeah.
Is to continue to get passive income each month and to hopefully get, you know, a third payday at the end of this somewhere where the buyer is either refinancing or selling the property and you're getting paid. The buyer owes you more than what you owe the seller, and that's your payday. But there's no equity here, and your equity goes down. Well, your equity goes up when the principal goes down, so does the buyer's. You're not going to be able to get significantly more than what you're already getting from the seller. So to me, there's one way that I would deal with this, and it would be option number one. Let me just tell you how I would structure it, because I'm not taking any risk here either. This isn't a slam dunk to me. And remember, I am thinking of three things right now. I'm thinking, is the location good? Is the condition good? And the payment's not so good. And those are the three things that I'm going to be concerned about. So I'm going to go to the seller and I'll say, look, I do have a solution for you. I can give you $1,000, maybe $1,500 to walk. We're going to need to leave this loan in your name for the foreseeable future. And to be honest, I want it to be longer term. Right now we're most likely selling this at a premium. And if we only give this buyer 3 years, I mean, chances are they don't have any equity. They can't refinance. Yep. So this deal doesn't even get paid out. So what we probably need more like 7 to 10 years on this and allow it to, gain some equity, let the buyer gain some equity. Plus, the longer the term that we have, the more interested buyers we would have. Even at like, it maybe if the condition's not the best or the payment's not the best, that would be my solution. I would not get involved in this unless one, it made the flow of the house was still maintained by adding two bedrooms. We had a cost that is, cheap, but it not only increased the rent significantly. So if we could up the rent by to 1400, that's not worth it to me. If I can get 1700, 1800, now I might have to consider it. And if it increased the value, I might have to consider it. But as it stands right now, I don't know that it really does. That does not interest me.
It would have to increase the value if you were going to, say retail it. It would have to increase the value by like, 40 or 50,000.
And I don't really see that happening. Do you? I don't. So that's why I'm probably not interested in any of the other options. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell the seller, look, the only way I can help you is if we basically take over existing debt. I wouldn't do this as a subject to, my thoughts on wholesaling subject to deals. I'm not a fan. And So I would do it as a wrap, all inclusive or contract for deed, either one. And it would be an exact wrap. And it would be exactly the terms on the underlying loan. Now, here's the only issue is that, you know, this is a VA loan. VA loans are worth a lot to vets. And, you know, is this guy going to be okay tying his up for the next 10 years? And I don't love doing that, but I just don't see any other real exit strategies for this person. And maybe he's in a market where, yeah, he's probably not going to even get 150 for it, but he's going to come out of pocket most likely with a significant amount of money if he puts it on the market, sells it with a realtor. So I would go to him and say, look, you know, I can't commit. You know, here's how it would all work out. You got to give me 30 days to see if I can go find that buyer and make sure that, you know, I've got my buyer set up. That way I'm not dealing with any closing costs. I'm not buying it first and having the risk to see what I can do with it. I don't want that. If I can go find that buyer and I can create a win-win-win situation for everyone, great. If not, then I'm passing. I'm moving on from this. This one, yes, there may be some money in it, but sometimes deals are not worth what you'll go through for the benefit, right? And sometimes you got to make that call. This one's tight. But if I could get everything to line up, I could get the seller to agree to let me have that 30 days and leave that VA loan in his name for 10 years, then I think I would do it, and I would do it as an assignment.
Yeah. Yep. Enough said about that one.
Good.
No, that's good. It's good to think about all the things to consider when looking at these deals. And I'm glad you threw that in, how you would kind of structure that without any risk in it. And really, you would need all of those things, you know, the, you know, low down payment of about $1,000, 7 to 10 years, leaving the loan in place. And they need to give you 30 days to go find that person.
Yeah. So. Yep.
Right. Hey guys, if you've enjoyed this, please hit us up on our Facebook page, the Creative Financing Podcast. Also, again, if you have any deals that you're looking at and you need help structuring, post your deal there, because at least, you know, there we have a community that can see it right away. We also get notifications when someone posts there. So leave your comments and deals there if you would, please. Guys, if you're interested in Jeff's apprenticeship program, give our hotline a call and mention that you're interested in that specifically. And I think he's going to have Rebecca.
I'm gonna give out. I want to give you guys a couple of choices. If you call the hotline, you're by all means, you certainly can. But now you're relying on me, and sometimes I just get busy, and, you know, sometimes I just fall behind. If you're really interested, you want to get going with our apprentice program, you want to find out more details, just email Rebecca at weofferoptions.com. Tell her that you're interested in the apprentice program. And then either she or I will reach out and we will have a conversation, and there is zero pressure. We only want people that want to be a part of our group. We will help you learn the wholesale game and wholesaling virtually all over the country. So,
yep. Cool. So Rebecca at We Offer Options, options with an S, right, Jeff?
Correct.
Yep. With an S, .com. So if you're interested in the apprenticeship program, reach out to Rebecca specifically, because she'll get back to you faster than Jeff will.
That's right.
But you can still call the hotline and let us know you're interested. If you have not already, text CFP to the hotline number 877-409-8090 to get a special access to a step-by-step video that Jeff put together on doing what we just talked about, deal structuring from start to finish. And then stay tuned, guys. We are still working on the Creative Financing Academy. It's something that we should be rolling out soon. I don't know when, but it's been in the works for some time.
I promise before the end of the year, somehow, some way. I'm hoping by the beginning of December, but I promise by the end of the year, it will be out.
Sweet. Okay. Yeah. You guys heard him.
And what is it, Jonathan?
What's that?
What is the Creative Financing Academy?
So the Creative Financing Academy will be a video form educational platform where you can find videos on how to structure single family deals, you know, for seller financing, how to structure multifamily deals, how to use a calculator.
Creative finance, though.
Yeah, right? Correct. Yeah, it's all inclusive, creative financing, all inclusive. And it's just, you know, a one-stop shop, one-stop place for learning how to use these strategies that we talk about on this show.
Perfect.
Okay, guys, till next time, go out there and create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review this show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.